it coming. Here's to all the women who thought they couldn't stay. I've been lying here all summer long, and all it does is rain. All it does is rain. There's a storm outside, didn't see it coming. Though the main man say there will be hell to pay. I've been lying here all summer long, and all it does is rain. All it does is rain. You took all your things lying on the bathroom floor. Took all the things hanging on the bedroom door. So many pretty dresses saved for a rainy day. Guess that's okay.
That's Andy White with All It Does Is Rain from his latest solo album, How Things Are. Belfast born and raised, but now living in Melbourne, Australia, Andy has earned a global reputation for his blend of folk and pop with a poet's sensibility. Andy will be back in Canada this November for a solo CD release tour for How Things Are. He's a fabulous live performer with a back catalogue of songs you'll definitely want to get to know. We caught up with Andy at home in Melbourne. So it's great to talk to you today, Andy.
Hi, Jan. How are you doing?
Doing wonderfully. We're very much looking forward to having you back in Canada on tour. Now, this is a tour that's built around the latest solo album, which is How Things Are, which I gather is an album with a hell of a lot of personal experience in it. When I read about the album, started listening to the songs, and we started off with All It Does Is Rain today. it made me realize that these are really personal subjects to write about, the death of a relationship. And I wanted to give you a chance to start off and talk about why you felt it was important to write these songs at this time.
Well, Jan, my whole recording, writing life, I've really reacted instinctively to whatever's going on around me, whether it be growing up in Belfast during the Troubles, to falling in love, to, you know, being a dad of a little baby, to, you know, I really automatically put my life into my songs and try to make it mean something to other people who are listening. So I didn't really set out to write an album, but definitely when my marriage fell apart, my natural thing was to go and write about it. We were brought up in a chaotic environment when I was a kid, and, you know, there was a war going on outside the front door, and my mom always tried to instill into me and my sisters the fact that if you can make something beautiful out of something chaotic, then that's one of the best things you can do. So I kind of, that's the way I started it, but I didn't really think I was writing an album. I was just writing songs, really.
You know, you're a writer as well as a songwriter. You've, I think, came out with 20th Century Troubadour in 2009, which is a wonderful double album that has songs from your career, but also has you reading from the book as well, which it really complements the songs beautifully. And I think you've also written, what, two poetry collections now?
Two poetry books.
So I wondered, when you started this, was that more about just wanting to get it out there as a cathartic experience?
Yeah, there's a lot of it's that. Plus, I think that when you listen to a record, like for me, at least half of it is the music. And I just love the way that the words can say one thing and they can be pretty serious, pretty heavy, definitely very personal, but the music can change everything. So when you talk about it, you tend to talk about the lyrics, but the celebratory aspect of the whole record, which I think is the celebration of a relationship as well as the talking about the end of it, I think the celebration comes through in the music. So in fact, there's an instrumental piece called Thank You, which is, for me, the sort of climax of the record, and it has phrases from the rest of the record dotted around it, but it's really an instrumental piece because in the end, the music takes over for me.
I'd like to talk about the song we started off with. That's one of my favorite songs. It's All It Does Is Rain. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Thanks, Jan. All It Does Is Rain. You're moving to Australia. Your Irish friends are like, well, it never rains there, does it? So obviously it's a metaphor, but for the situation which was going on. But All It Does Is Rain was after I broke up with my wife. It's funny, your best friends run a mile, especially if you're a guy, your guy friends do not want to talk to you about it. Though a couple did. One of them was Tim Finn, who I originally came to Australia with, Tim. And Tim and I sat drinking coffee one morning. We had this beautiful conversation because he really knew the both of us when we were together. And just when I got home, he'd sent me an email where he just said one line. He said, here's to all the men who didn't see it coming. And I wrote him an email back which said, here's to all the women who thought they couldn't say. And that was, I knew at that stage that we were writing a song together again. And it grew from there, that song, which is particularly special for me. For sure, All It Does Is Rain ends up with saying it, they said it never rained, because sometimes you're in a place where people think it doesn't rain, but of course it does.
Can we talk about the recording of the album itself? Because I think this is an album that you pretty much did everything and brought more of your family. And I think your son Sebastian plays on this one. Can you talk about how that all came about?
Yeah, well, Sebastian's played. He's 22 now, so he's a young man with very, very long hair and sort of Mark Bolan type hair. He's a wonderful boy, and he's really played drums since he literally was hitting biscuit tins when he was two and when we were living in Dublin. And sure, it was part of the whole journey of the album was to be able to play with Sebastian on the record. We played concerts for a few years, but certainly to have him on the record was serious. And because he's a drummer, he doesn't, I mean, he knew what this record was about, but again, it's the music. Like it's about the drumming for him, and for us to work together was personally a huge joy for me. So really, it was just I played everything except for the drums. I can't play drums, and luckily enough, my son plays drums. He designed the cover. A wonderful violin player from Melbourne was like a one-woman orchestra where she played all the strings herself. I got the inspiration from that from, I don't know if you know the strings on Vida, La Vida, the Coldplay album. They're all just one Italian guy playing the whole thing. And she played the whole orchestra herself.
And I think it's Domini Foster, right, that plays the violin for you on this?
That's right.
Had you played with her before? Had she played with you live? Is that how you
hooked up? In Melbourne, there's this whole society of people. I guess the most famous of them is Courtney Barnett, the indie rock person, and there's lots and lots of girls who play ukuleles, and they have it's kind of new folk kind of thing, and she's one of those people that they play all kinds of instruments and are hugely artistic and creative, and she's just one of those people, and I just loved her style, and she had like a Celtic thing as well, which is really good. If you meet a good violin player, listeners, note down their name and address and phone number, because they'll always come in useful. I know of a couple of really great violin players around the world, and she's one of them. It was really made in the back garden. It was mixed at a proper studio, like a beautiful studio in Melbourne. But it was really going back to my earliest albums, where that's what I would do. I would just play most things myself and take it from there. So I'm very kind of proud of it in that way as well.
I heard that Melbourne is kind of the centre of the music scene in Australia. Is that right?
Yeah, because the rent is cheaper, so we can afford to live here. It's like lots of cities, lots of countries are like that. And Melbourne's like that. Sydney's, you know, nobody can beat the Sydney Harbour for beauty. I mean, it's very, very beautiful. But Melbourne's the most European city here, and it's definitely where all the musicians live.
I'd like to actually go back to the album and play another song. The song I've suggested is The Closest Thing to Heaven, which is another song that really inspires me. And I got to be honest, it's one of the things about the way you write is that it's very easy to hook into lyrics that mean so much to you. Can you talk about this song?
Well, Closest Thing to Heaven, yeah. It's just one of those phrases that came instinctively into my head. You know, it's the title. And I'm sure all songwriters will say this to you, that there's some songs which you work on for a long, long time, and some songs just come out fully formed, and this was the latter. In fact, I wrote it probably like 10 metres from where I'm sitting. I can see the gully road from right here. So it's absolutely, it's reportage, and again, it's the barest song on the record, just a guitar and voice and harmonica, then the strings start entering, and as you'll see if you listen to the whole record, it builds into that instrumental song I was talking about, Thank You, which is where all the themes of the record all come together.
Let's play that just now. This is Andy White from his latest album. It's entitled How Things Are, and this is The Closest Thing to Heaven.
It was a stormy day, put the breakfast things away. You were standing outside, looking at me like everything between us had died. 19 years, and you told me straight you had enough and you couldn't wait. And you asked me why I can't talk so well. I'm living life in a brand new hell. You were the closest thing to heaven in my heart. The closest thing to heaven in my heart. Took a drive along the gully road. The cloud was coming down, I watched the weather explode. 19 years sitting on a fence, which I always believe was built by providence. And you asked me why I can talk so well. I'm living life in a brand new hell. You were the closest thing to heaven in my heart. You were the closest thing to heaven in my heart. On the southern shore, and lying on the sand, listen to the waves roar. Ain't it funny how the places we went together are not as good alone as when we went together? The good times are gone, perhaps for forever. And I'm lying here waiting for an Indian summer. And you ask me why I can't talk so well. I'm living life in a brand new hell. You were the closest thing to heaven in my heart. The closest thing to heaven in my heart. You were the closest thing to heaven in my heart. The closest thing to heaven in my heart.
That's Andy White with Closest Thing to Heaven from his latest album, How Things Are. He's just about to head to Canada on tour. He'll be touring in Ontario and I think out to Alberta as well during November. He's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. And I thought, Andy, it's a good time to talk about the live show, because I think this is this pretty much a solo tour you'll be doing in Canada this time around?
It is, yeah, and it's my first. I've played lots of solo shows in Canada, dotted around the place, but this is the first time I've kind of gone from east to west myself without the aid of Stephen Fearing's amazing driving ability.
So tell us a little bit about what people can expect on this tour.
Troubadour soul, told tales, poetry, laughs, a lot of interesting guitar noises, since I play a guitar through a strange series of pedals, as well as just playing the guitar. So I try and bring the whole thing to the show. Like, the records are one thing and the heart of the records is the solo performance, and that's what I'm going to bring to Canada.
You've been making music since your debut album Rave on Andy White in 1986. That's a wonderful back catalogue. I know I'm a big fan of the back catalogue, and as much as I love the new albums, there are days all I want to do is actually go back and listen to some of the older stuff. Does the older stuff get good time in the solo show these days?
Oh, for sure. And it's interesting because I started off with How Things Are, launching it here, and I played the whole thing all the way through. And then in the second half of the show, I played lots of songs from the past. And then as time went on, I went to England and started to integrate the songs together. And yeah, I mean, you've got to believe that if they all come from your heart, they all come from the same place, from your imagination, that they will work together in some way. And they've integrated themselves really well. How Things Are has become a really important part of the set. So it's more of like a continuing story, and they definitely sound different when you put them. If you put Vision of You beside All It Does Is Rain, for example, or Shakespeare Take My Hand with James Joyce's Grave, there are lots of connections between everything. And if in one of your sad, depressed moments, you can think it's because I only have two ideas. But in another way, you think, ah, okay, this is all a holistic approach to the whole thing. So the back catalogue for me, I'm delighted that you enjoy it so much, Jan. For me, it's all one thing. It's like each album is like a chapter. And very interestingly, next year in England, the record company are going to bring out all of them in a box together with one new one, which is the second part of How Things Are, which is going to be released at the end of next year. There's some of them you can't get them anymore. You can get most of them on my website, but some of them are sold out. You can't get them anymore. So that's why we thought we'd put them all out together.
But is that a special milestone for you, or is this just the way it worked out?
Dan, you are just, I don't know. You're on some higher plane here, because Ray Vaughan is... Can you believe it? It's 30 next October, and that's when it's going to come out. Because Ray Vaughan, I'm not sure what happened to it in Canada, but I didn't really know about North America at that stage, but definitely in England and Ireland, it was quite a big deal, that record. And it's 30 years since it came out, so it's time to put them all together and put them all out.
That's wonderful news. I'm really excited about that. I look forward to that box set. If people want to learn more about your music and particularly the dates for the tour, how can they do that?
AndyWhite.com is the easiest place.
And I think they can also sign up for your mailing list, can't they?
Exactly. I mean, I know when I started, I was managed by this wonderful manager who managed Billy Bragg and lots of famous people actually in the past. And he always told us to keep in contact with people who are into music, like never let go of them. And he always said, own your masters as well, which is a really great thing to say so long ago, because both of those things are so important to independent musicians nowadays. And I love the setup in Canada where you've got a very supportive music community. And I think that together with the fact that we can access the people who are into our music is very, very important today.
I'd like to finish today with a new song, and it's a song that is available on your website. Remember, that is andywhite.com. And that's a song about the refugee crisis that unfortunately is impacting things quite severely. It's a song entitled Dignity, a beautiful song, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about the ongoing refugee crisis in the world, obviously particularly affecting the Middle East and Europe.
Thanks, Jan. Yeah, this would be an exclusive play and North America for sure. I don't think anybody's played it on the radio outside Australia. No, in Britain. In Britain they have. You've got rid of your right-wing prime minister in Canada. It's taken a coup in Australia to get rid of the most right-wing prime minister I've ever really lived under, and I lived right through Thatcher in the UK. The government in Australia is appallingly right-wing, and it just is so unwelcoming to refugees, and I was disgraced by the way that we've treated them. And I think that a lot of creative people just get so frustrated. You wonder, what can you do? Well, you should go get out and either march or write to people, or write to the refugees in detention or whatever. But what I can do is write songs. And I just got fed up with the whole thing, went out and wrote this song. I knew instantly that I had to get it out there. And we've got a series of concerts in Melbourne to try and support the refugees, and the money goes to the Refugee and Immigration Law Centre, which represents the asylum seekers in court. I think we're new countries. They're huge. We've got easily enough room for whoever is fleeing hardship. I grew up in a very minor form of civil war, and these people, their suffering is untold. And I think Germany, for example, and Sweden are leading the world and just throwing open the gates and saying, come on in, you're going to make our countries better, but let's open our arms to them. It's very important that we do this. And I put this song out. Lots of people have listened to it. I was lucky that Peter Gabriel actually loved it, and he shared it on his Facebook page, which means that lots of people have listened to it. And I think that songs are great things in bringing people together, and just people being able to use their voice. My hero was always John Lennon, and he did that all the time, and that's kind of what I'm doing in my small Irish way.
Well, look, that's a perfect way to finish today's interview. We're certainly looking forward to having you back on the road in Canada. 2 seconds, I just wanted to ask you, what happens when you get back to Australia? You mentioned, obviously, you're involved in these concerts, focusing the attention on the refugee crisis. You've also mentioned the new box set coming that will showcase your work with re-releasing all the albums that you've produced in your career. What other plans do you have? Is there another Fearing and White album in the offing?
It's always a possibility, Jan. It depends on us meeting and having time and inspiration, and just finding the time actually to write is the important thing. I know that we're meeting in February. We've got two concerts which for some reason have been booked in Alberta, just two concerts. So maybe we'll find some time then. But the Fearing and White thing has been incredible. And in fact, your area of where you come from is very special to us both, because Stephen lived in Guelph. We spent a lot of time in Guelph. I've driven through Erin many times, and I'm really looking forward to playing in a place whose name was on every stamp I looked at when I was young. And Stephen and I spent many happy times in Guelph, really. It's a great part of the world. We wrote an awful lot of songs there, including all of the first record. So it's always a possibility. I'm just not sure. It's hard to keep track of what Stephen does. He does so many things. But it's been a great experience for sure.
Well, look, it's been great fun to talk to you today. We're definitely looking forward to seeing you back on tour in Canada. This is Andy White with a new song, Dignity. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall. Thanks again, Andy.
Thanks, Jan.
Dignity. Jesus was a refugee. Give him dignity. In the name of you and me. Don't give up. Precious.